One of the good things about the Federal Communications Commission is that there is a public comment process. And part of securing strong rules protecting the free and open internet, when the public interest really won this fight and saw the strongest rules passed, was because of public input. And in that proceeding, more than 4 million people commented at the FCC. But what happened this time when the Republican FCC opened the docket is that, again, millions and millions of people started telling them what they thought. And it turned out that a bunch of the people who told them what they thought weren't real. They were bots. They were made up comments using data that appeared to have been stolen in data breaches. And at first, all those comments were for what the FCC was doing, which was unusual because no reporters or advocates could find any of these individuals. Then a lot of comments started showing up saying they were for net neutrality. If you strip away all of these sort of cookie cutter comments, you end up with a situation where 95% of the original comments that are clearly attributable to people are absolutely against what the FCC is doing. But the whole docket itself has 22 million comments, an unknown number of which are actually fake. And so the Attorney General of New York stepped in with suspicions that fraud was happening. When we went to the FCC to ask for help and cooperation, they wouldn't help. They weren't interested in sorting out which comments were fake and which comments were real. And so now you have the Attorney General of New York sounding the alarm there, that there's real concerns, real problems, a broken system, and an FCC majority that seems strangely unconcerned about it.
Part of that light touch philosophy?
I guess light touch when it comes to fraud as well.
How do you envision the impact of shifting the burden of oversight for this industry to the Federal Trade Commission? As I understand it, AT&T and DirecTV are the same company. How do they identify as an internet service provider, a content bringer, or a telecom company? Where are the lines?
Well, you're getting at a really important question, because AT&T's answer historically has been depends who's asking. And AT&T's dream is to find a no man's land in between these regulatory agencies. Because there are prohibitions on the books that say the FTC can't regulate telecommunication. That's the FCC's purview. And now you've got the FCC saying, well, we're not going to step in and deal with these anti-consumer practices. But what's going to happen then is as soon as the FTC tries to do something, if they even do, AT&T will say, no, we're a telecommunications company. You can't touch us. That's the kind of world they would love to set up, where it's very difficult to rein them in. The problem between the two agencies, in addition to that game of hot potato where nothing really gets done, is that an agency like the Federal Trade Commission is a very reactive agency. They respond to very specific instances of anti-competitive behavior. So there's no ability to actually set standards. That's the FCC's job, saying this kind of behavior is off limits. Here's where the lines are. The other thing about the Federal Trade Commission is it's very opaque. The FCC has a very open public process with these 22 million comments that have gone in. Nothing similar really exists at the Federal Trade Commission. It's not open to the public in the same way.
Here in Colorado, a total of 19 jurisdictions have elected to invest in municipal broadband. Do you see potential for that investment to be wasted if the corporations are allowed to control both pace and content?
In some ways, I think that it makes those municipal broadband options even more important. One of the challenges for internet users everywhere is that they really don't have anywhere to turn when it comes to high-speed broadband. If your cable company and your phone company decide they want to violate net neutrality, that they want to slow down content that they don't like, when it comes to high-speed broadband, most Americans have one or two choices, and that's it. So the notion that we could have municipal services filling in the gap, stepping up in places that these companies have decided not to serve, is incredibly important. These companies are doing everything they can, and I know they tried this in Colorado unsuccessfully here at the end, but to lobby against those systems even being built because they perceive it as competition.
Between the chairman's moves to relax media ownership rules and an agenda of a market-friendly frame for internet service providers, how are the public airwaves to remain an asset of the commons?
This is a really big challenge right now. I think this is a Federal Communications Commission that is trying to abandon the idea. And it's important that we remind people that the public airwaves belong to you. It's not the kind of thing we are supposed to see in democracies. This is how it works in dictatorships. It's not the way it's supposed to work here.
I've been talking with President and CEO of Free Press, Craig Aaron. For more information, you can visit their website at freepress.net. The date of December 14th has been scheduled for the full commission to vote on the rule changes. For KGNU, this is Robin Ryan.